And I think that's a fitting story and a fitting illustration to where we're at today and the way in which our culture has come to see and approach the Word of God. Why has God given us this Bible? He's given us this Word that is there before you on your laps to be ultimately a compass, a guide, a reference point so that we in our lives would know who He is and not only know where we have come from, but more importantly, by the grace of God, know where we're going. Amen? And that's what God has given to us in His Word. There are several ways we can come to know God. There are several ways that we can come to understand who God is. God has given us general revelations, which include things like creation. Amen? And so there's a general way in which you and I can come to have an understanding and appreciation that God, or at least a God, exists. In fact, Paul in Romans chapter 1 tells us that man and woman are without excuse because of the created things. That we can't stand before God someday and give an account of our life and say, oh, well, I had no idea about you. Because according to Paul, his argument is that through even general revelation alone, through the beauty of the stars at night that you see, it testifies, Psalms tells us, to the glory and the wonders of God. But more than just the general revelations, God has chosen in His infinite mercy to make Himself completely known through very special and specific ways. Yes, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the physical body, the physical representation of the invisible God, Paul says in Colossians 1:15. But even in the person of Jesus Christ, if we want to know who God is, we ultimately see of Him and hear of Him through His testimony, which is the Word. This is how we get to know who God is. He has revealed Himself through the Bible. And what's so startling today, and what is so tragic and sad, especially among the younger generation in our world and in our culture today, is that the Bible has been so devalued and has been so lost in respect and, more importantly, in understanding of how we truly know the Bible is the Word of God. In fact, when we think about the illustration of the lifeboats that had a compass, and through the compass they are guided to safety, the raft had no compass, and it was just drifting aimlessly around in submission to just the tides and the changing of the winds and wherever we go. We see that today our culture has gone from a foundation of knowing the Bible as the Word of God and letting that be the direction and the compass for life to letting the foundation of our lives be different philosophical worldviews like all truth is relative. All roads simply lead to God. So it doesn't really matter which religion you believe. Have you ever heard that before? Or it's a foundation of the Bible isn't really true. We don't really need to uphold such truths. In fact, as we see in our culture today, the truths of God's words are being stripped out of every institution that exists. It's just simply a collection of man-made writings, nothing special, nothing significant. And it's tragic what we're seeing today. Even in Time magazine, we see questions like, is the Bible fact or fiction? Now, there's some good news and bad news to what's happening in our culture today among the younger generations like yourself. The good news is that 85% of households today own a Bible. In fact, the average among the American household is that each home has at least 4.3 Bibles. I'm not sure what the 0.3 is if they sort of slice it up a little bit, but that's what the statistics say. And that 69% believe the Bible provides answers on how to live a meaningful life. The bad news from this good is that 26% never even read the Bible. 79% believe they're knowledgeable, yet only 54% know the first five books of the Bible. How about here this morning? Do you know the first five books of the Bible? Let's go for it. Number one, Genesis. Amen. 100% content 2014. 46% believe the Bible, get this, is no different in expression than any other holy book. That at the end of the day, it's that same philosophical idea that all religions are basically the same. They all lead to God. 46% believe that the Bible is no different than books like the Book of Mormon or the Quran. And this is the tragedy that is happening today, especially among the younger generation, that if we approach God's Word with an idea of respect of, yeah, I appreciate what it said, but really, there's no difference between this and the Book of Mormon or the Quran. Are you kidding me? And this is why it is so essential today that we as the church and you and I as believers don't just have a distant respect for what the Bible is, but that we have an intimate and meaningful and passionate understanding of what this Bible is in our lives, and more importantly, in the lives of others who do or even do not believe. We need to know these truths and be prepared. I mean, look at some of these startling statistics that are happening today, friends. And I believe these statistics, by and large, are significant because it ultimately points to a reality of people not appreciating, recognizing, and submitting to the authority of God's revelation, which is the Bible. Look at this, 88%, this is to the Southern Baptist Convention in terms of the rate of Christian youth leaving the church. 70% from Lifeway Research done in 2007, 66% from the Assemblies of God Council in 2007, 61% a Barna study back in 2006. Karl Marx, father of modern-day communism, he said that a people without a heritage are easily persuaded. Isn't that true? If we don't know where we have come from, if we don't know who we are in terms of our story in the unfolding narrative of God, and you remove that and strip that, you wonder why nations like Russia and China and Cuba and North Korea and Iran and all these places, you wonder why they are so intent on removing the Word of God. Not just the Christian influence of the church, but the Bible from getting into the hands of the people. Because they already know. They know that if you strip them of their heritage and their understanding of who they are in the eyes of the Creator God, then you have a huge platform now to be able to replace what they should know with what you want them to know. A people without a heritage are easily persuaded. Oz Guinness, quote, says, "Those who don't know history have no sense of identity and no sense of wisdom as they explore where they're going to go." This is why the Bible becomes a compass for our life. It not only gives to us an understanding of who we are, but more importantly, it gives to us an understanding and a hope for where we are going. Amen? Now, I want to share with you this morning, with the time remaining, how we can be sure that the Bible is the Word of God. I pray that this morning is going to be a time of great encouragement and great understanding and wisdom so that you can be equipped and you can be prepared to know in your own heart and in your own faith. But more importantly, as you translate that to others who maybe don't believe or don't understand why this Bible is so valuable and meaningful and why we must apply all of our life to what God has revealed of himself to us in these pages. So let's just pray together as we open up this time and we go through some significant reasons we can believe the Bible is the very Word of God. Please join me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We confess and acknowledge what Psalms 119 declares, that your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. God, you have revealed yourself to us. You have made yourself known. We see you in human form, in the person of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the very Word of God. And we come to know you and see you, your very nature and your very character, your plan of redemption, all unfolded throughout the pages of Scripture, and we praise you. God, this isn't just a simple book of literature. This is inspired. It's God-breathed. It gives to us an understanding of who we are, our identity, our heritage, and it encourages us and fills us with hope to where we are going. It is our life. It is our everything. And we must know, and we must understand, and we must make it the foundation of our life. We love you and we praise your great name. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, beginning with point number one, if you're taking notes this morning, there are several reasons why we can be sure and confident that the Bible is indeed the very Word of God. And one of the first amazing proofs or evidences that we have is what we call the unity of Scripture. You know, it's kind of interesting. Oftentimes, I don't know if you've ever had this conversation before, but I always run into people when I enter into a conversation. It happens quite regularly at church. We have visitors who come. They want to meet the pastor. We start talking about life and its meaning, and I always reference the Bible and God's Word and try to validate and affirm in people that we can know this is God's revelation to us. And they always say, yeah, but you know, it always seems like you're quoting the Bible to defend and support the Bible. Have you ever come across that before or even thought about yourself? It's like, how does that make any sense that you're using the Bible to support the Bible? It's almost like this circular reasoning going on. But the cool thing is that many people don't understand is that the Bible isn't just a book. You're not taking one part of it and using it to support another part of it and saying, see? It's not that it's a single book. In fact, the Bible is actually a collection of 66 books. And it's not just that it's a collection of 66 books, but the Bible covers hundreds of topics in literature and in widely varying styles. These styles include history and poetry and didactic literature and parables and allegory and apocalyptic and epic. So it's not just that this book is singular, but it's actually a collection of 66 books in varieties of styles of literature. It is composed by 40 different authors. And it's not just that these 40 different authors have the same background, but this is a range of occupations here we're talking about. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, these authors' occupations include things like kings and prophets and military commanders and fishermen and doctors and teachers and shepherds and tax collectors and rabbis and herdsmen. This is an incredible collection of 66 books and 40 different authors. More importantly, this Bible was written over a time period of 1,500 years. It was written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and portions of it in Aramaic. It was written on three different continents. And here's the thing. It has a common theme. This is one of the most powerful things about this whole point of the unity of Scripture is that in all of this variety, the multiple numbers of books, the multiple numbers of authors, the multiple numbers of languages, the multiple numbers of years, the multiple numbers of continents, all of this comes together to form a singular common theme from Genesis to Revelation. It is a singular love letter of God's redemptive plan of how he can have and desires to have a right relationship with you. Isn't that awesome? You can read it from front to end, and you're going to walk away every single time with an overwhelming sense of knowing what God thinks about you. This is absolutely incredible. And here's the thing that we like to kind of emphasize with people sometimes, is that in this common theme, think about how significant all these pieces are to truly appreciate this. What we call it the library test. Okay, I want you to write this down and make room here in your notes, because it's something to consider when we think about how significant this point is, how God has brought all of these factors together to make a singular-seeming book with a singular theme of God's redemptive plan for you and me. Try this out sometime. Go to a library, or this is a great sort of test to give to somebody else if they're ever questioning or wondering about the validity of the Bible and God's Word. Say, here, let me give you a little challenge just for the fun of it. And try this sometime. Go to your local library here in Tennessee, and I'll give you whatever amount of books you want, but like the Bible, try to find 66 books. They can be whatever books you want, of any genre, of any theme, of any literary style, but find 66 books. Find all the 66 books, at least have to be by 40 different authors. You know, pull together all these books of 66, of 40 authors. You know, these books have to come from at least three different continents. They have to be in at least three different languages. They don't have to be Hebrew and Greek. They can be Spanish and French and Chinese or whatever. But pull all of these together and then edit them however you want. Nitpick and point out and cut and paste all the sentences to whatever degree you desire and whatever time you want to put into it. And I challenge you that you will never, ever be able to create a singular common theme like you see in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I, for the fun of it, in terms of the spirit of trying to make it easier, will oftentimes say to people, forget the 66-40. Go to your local library and try to find five books with just two different authors. It can be in one language, right? These five books can be written within the last 5 years on the same subject. And you'll probably have a hard time finding a singular common theme. Amen? So the fact that these scriptures are unified throughout all of these variables is absolutely fantastic. Number two, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. Now, it might be easy to brush this off as insignificant, but if the Bible claims to be the Word of God, you would expect it to say as much, right? Listen to what the Bible has to say about itself. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says that all of Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter here writes, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now, what does it mean when it says that Scripture was inspired? I mean, how could sinful man produce a perfect message from God? A good example is found in the Virgin Mary, just coming off of celebrating Christmas. As the Holy Spirit came upon the womb of the Virgin Mary, despite her sinful nature, imperfections, and limitations, God, through the Holy Spirit, produced sinless and perfect humanity for Christ in the incarnation. And so he has moved upon the minds and the spirits of the recorders of Scripture such that, despite limitations in language, culture, and even scientific knowledge, he produced his perfect message to humankind. Both phenomena were miraculous. Both were perfect births, one of the Son of God and the other of a book, the Word of God.